found me when I was so lonely. You found me when I was so blue. Oh, you found me when no just what to do. So let me walk with you, Jesus. Don't ever leave me alone. Without you, I could never. No, never make heaven my home. Sing that chorus one more time. No, never make heaven my home. It's Jesus I really want to see. To see, oh, the more I see of this world, the less it means to me. Oh, it's Jesus I really want to see. I really want to see. Yes, Lord Jesus. Oh, it's Jesus I really want to see. Of this world, the less it means to me. Oh, it's Jesus I really want to see.
Amen. I don't know about you, saints, but it seems like every single day this world becomes less and less attractive. Less and less things to get me excited about even being down here anymore. Some days I wake up and find myself just as the last verse, even come Lord Jesus, you know, I just... And then when you start seeing your loved ones and friends get to the other side and you know what a time they're having, you're like, Lord, I just want to go there.
Yes.
I've got a daddy over there. I've got friends over there. But you know what I believe? I believe if my daddy or if Brother Bruce or Brother Luther, if God give them the opportunity to peek over the portals of glory this evening and look down at us and could tell us one thing, they'd say, keep pushing. It's worth every pain. It's worth every trial. It's worth every failure that you fall on your face and have to have the Lord pick you up again. It's worth every bit of it. Don't ever give up. Keep on pressing. Keep pressing the battle. And I tell you what, you talk about a time when we finally reach that jubilee on the other side. I know my grandfather, the day before he passed, he told my brother and myself that he would see us in the jubilee. And I'm looking forward to that. I believe he caught a glimpse of it before he crossed over to the other side. I believe my dad caught a glimpse of it. I'm looking forward to that jubilee. Heaven's jubilee. I just feel like having a jubilee this evening. Let's try to see. Heaven's jubilee. Oh, some glad morning we shall see Jesus in the air. Oh, coming after you and me. Joys is ours to share. What rejoicing there will be when the saints arise. Headed for that jubilee yonder in the skies. And oh, what singing, oh, what shouting on that happy morning when we all shall rise. Oh, what glory, hallelujah, when we meet our blessed Savior in the skies. Oh, seems that now I almost see all the sainted dead, oh, rising for that jubilee that is just ahead. In the twinkling of an eye, changed with them to be. Oh, all the living saints to fly to that jubilee. And oh, what singing, oh, what shouting on that happy morning when we all shall rise. Oh, what glory, hallelujah, when we meet our blessed Savior in the skies. And when with all that heavenly host we begin to sing, oh, singing in the Holy Ghost, how the heavens will ring. Millions there will join the song, with them we shall be, oh, praising Christ through ages long, heaven's jubilee. And oh, what singing, oh, what shouting on that happy morning when we all shall rise. Oh, what glory, hallelujah, when we meet our blessed Savior in the skies. Let's sing that third one. Oh, when with all the heavenly host we begin to sing, singing in the Holy Ghost, how the heavens will ring. Millions there will join the song, with them we shall be, praising Christ through ages long, heaven's jubilee. And oh, what singing, oh, what shouting on that happy morning when we all shall rise. Oh, what glory, hallelujah, when we meet our blessed Savior in the sky. And oh, what singing, oh, what shouting on that happy morning when we all shall rise. Oh, what glory, hallelujah, when we meet our blessed Savior in the sky. Hallelujah. Oh, my. You know, I was just over there this morning thinking, as Brother Barry was telling about how that the witness said that Brother Luther was just slumped over his steering wheel, and I just got to thinking, you know, he left that body. I wonder if he was running. I wonder if he was running when he hit glory. Started out walking, but run his last mile home. Amen. You just think when he hit that. Oh my, I tell you, it's just exciting. When with all the heavenly hosts We begin to sing. He loved to sing, and I imagine He is singing right now. Let's sing that again. When with all the heavenly hosts we begin to sing, oh, singing in the Holy Ghost, how the heavens will ring. Millions there will join the song, with them we shall be. Oh, praising Christ through ages long, heaven's jubilee. And oh, our singing, oh, our shouting, on that happy morning when we all shall rise. Oh, our glory, hallelujah, when we meet our blessed Savior in the sky. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Sing that first verse, no music, just us, the way that we'll sing it when the angels have to step back and listen because they have no clue what we're singing about. Let's sing it to Him. Amazing grace, yes, Lord, how sweet the sound that saves a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. 'Twas blind, but praise God now with the music. Oh, praise God. 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 you continue to play that softly, we're going to take these requests before the Lord. I'd like to ask Brother Larry Pruitt if he'd get ready to lead us to the Lord in prayer. Amen. We want to remember Brother Steve and Sister Sarah this week as they're going to be traveling to Japan and really, really need your prayers. So let's remember Brother Steve and Sister Sarah. We also want to remember Sister Becky, Sister Rachel, Sister Sarah, and Lucas as they're down with the Johnsons this evening. Just remember the Johnsons in prayer also. Also continue to remember Sister Mary Ann and Sister Molly. And the family want to remember Sister Anna Pritchard in prayer. We want to remember the Swaffords as they're away. Also want to ask you to remember my brother Brian. He's had a change in his shift on his job, and he drives for Walmart, and they've had a company-wide change, and he's just not able to be here. And he's really asking the Lord to move on his behalf. So I just ask you to remember him in prayer. We also want to continue to remember Brother and Sister Fulcher. I know there's probably many unspoken requests among us. You know, as we're drawing down to the end, it seems like the needs get greater and greater and the pressure's getting stronger and stronger. That's just to get us uncomfortable, to get us out of here. So let's remember to lift each other up in prayer. Brother Larry, if you would take these requests.
Let's all pray. Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we thank you for another opportunity, Lord, to come this evening and worship you in spirit and truth, Lord. We thank you for sending us a prophet this day, Lord, to give us the revelation of the last day ministry, Lord, to the bride, to this church, Lord, to the people who attend this church, Lord. Just may you open a revelation to them to keep them through this week, Lord. And we just ask you to bless the ones whose names were called tonight, Lord. There's too many to call, but you know each one, each situation, Lord. We just ask you that for their healing, and Lord, just whatever your need in their life is, we just ask you to give it to them, Lord. And we just thank you for each one who's come out today, Lord. And just keep them safe on their journey as they go home. And we ask you to bless the Roys and the Johnsons tonight, Lord. And just give them grace and mercy and strength through this trying time, Lord. We ask it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Larry. God bless you, saints. You may be seated. I'd like to ask Ashley if she'd come up this time. I didn't have any special requests, but the Lord just laid it on my heart to sing this song. Brother Luther always really liked this song, and I said this song was going to be sung at my funeral. If I have to go by the way of the grave, I know I'll live again over on the other side.
If some morning I am gone from this vale of tears, I'm going home to live again. I am going on a trip when I say goodbye. I'll live again over on the other side. I'll live again over on the golden strong strand. I'll sing and shout with the mighty angel bells. You'll see me rise beyond the starry skies. I'll live again over on the other side. I've a mansion over there, built in beauty rare. I'm going home to live again. If they lay me in the grave, don't you weep for me. Cause I'll live again over on the other side. I'll live again over on that golden strand. I'll sing and shout with a mighty angel band. You'll see me rise beyond the starry skies. I'll live again over on the other side. I'll sing and shout with a mighty angel band. You'll see me rise beyond
the starry skies.
Let's all stand and we'll have the ushers come at this time. Brother Andy, if you would play a prayer. Amen. As Brother Barry comes, let's just sing that song, Have Your Way. Have your way. Have your
I'm not going to prolong the service at all this evening. We're going to invite Brother Dale to come back and minister what's on his heart tonight. Tomorrow afternoon, as I said, at 6 o'clock, we're going to do the viewing. Everybody is certainly welcome. We're going to have a lot of people, I think, who are going to be through here tomorrow afternoon. The family's going to be coming earlier than that, about 4:30, 5 o'clock. They're going to be coming here and having just as kind of a family time together, and then at 6 o'clock it'll be the viewing. So if you're able to make it, come on along. You know, it's Luther, and you know, it's just I think a special thing. Let me say this to you too: if you have a special memory or a story or something that you want to pass on to me, do that in the next 24 hours or less. Okay. Email me or text me or tell me, and I'll be taken right off after service, but get it to me here, because we want to, I mean, there are, in the last 24 hours, I've heard literally hundreds of stories, people, you know, things that he's done. I had no idea that Luther was up to, and just amazing how big of an influence that he had and how many people's lives he affected. So if you have a story or something you want to share, I'll share it. Most likely, but we'd like to record those. You know, we'd like to take note of those things. So, if you would do that, Sister Mary Ann got to see Brother Luther today. they went to the funeral home and they were able to open up the casket, and she wanted to say goodbye. She felt like there was that piece undone, and she got to do that today, and they were happy with that. So all the family who went to the funeral home today, they got to do that, so that was nice. And just and closure, just doing that with Luther. So we're going to turn over to our brother Dale and just ask that you just pull your chair into the table, and dine as the guest of the Holy Spirit tonight. Yeah, what's the first line?
Bibles, we'll invite you to the scripture, Hebrews chapter 1. Praise the Lord Jesus. We have a wonderful day of fellowship, and appreciate Brother Barry and saints and all the good hospitality and fellowship around the Word. And boy, we're just looking forward to a day where we'll never have to say goodbye. There'll be no parting. Oh my, what a day that'll be. I stand for, remember hearing the prophet of God say, he said we'd come down off of a hill one day. He said maybe been out walking over those great panoramics. He said, come down and see a sister there in her flower garden. He said, maybe she'd been there for 10,000 years. He said, oh friends, that's not a story. That's what heaven will be. Oh, you think, my, what a promise, as a brother following up this morning. That's why we preach, is so that we can prepare our hearts not for an extended stay here on this side. Amen. But we're looking for an opportunity, for a place, amen, where our joys will never end. My, praise the Lord. Hebrews chapter 1, we're going to keep going with our same thought as we had this morning in recognition. And we begin reading Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and of holding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, we just ask you now, Lord, as we look to your word, Lord, these great ancient texts, Lord, that have been used down through the millennium, Lord, they're just as fresh and real and present tense today as they were when the very words were penned back in the days of the apostle. Lord, we pray now, Father, that they would be light unto our feet, Lord, a lamp to our path, even likewise as they have through the ages. But Lord, we're asking, Lord, for the culmination of all these things, the time, Lord, of restitutions, Lord, have come upon us. We are they in whom truly the ends of the world have come upon. And Lord, we're asking you now to just rekindle, renew, bring our minds back into remembrance. So we have heard these things before. May they, Lord, they may be refreshed, Lord, and take on renewed value in our lives, Lord, we pray. As we just look to you this evening to speak to every heart. In Jesus' lovely name we pray. Amen. God bless you, friends, as you have your seats. We're a bit warm this evening. Thank you. Oh, there's a hanger. We came to a place this morning. We ended up with Esther and that condition that the king was looking for in a wife would be a wife that would have throne thoughts, that would have throne identification. She would have a throne recognition. He wasn't just looking for some fly by night or some, you know, as Brother Bram said, a modern day sex queen of some kind to be his wife, but he was choosing a bride that would be of royal caliber. And so likewise the type of church, the wife of the Lord Jesus Christ that would be looking for in this day would not just be one that would want a lot of campground stars, Hollywood evangelism, but what Brother Ram would show and teach through the message would be that the bride would have a character, and it would have the characteristics of the word itself, and how that this bride would be a literal reflection of Jesus Christ himself again, and so much that when Jesus said, when you have seen me, you have seen the Father. And Jesus said, I and my Father are one. And here we read in our text that he, being the brightness of his glory, the very expressed image. And that word there is, in the Greek text, is, I believe it's pronounced hypostasis. It's a word that literally means a facsimile. That this is the very image. In ancient times, they used a signet ring. And that ring had maybe a crest or a family emblem or a seal that was embossed into that ring or that seal, and they would put wax upon a parchment or upon a document of some kind or a scroll, and the one who had sent the document to place his validity or his affidavit upon this document that was being sent, he would put this wax there, and then he would press that seal or that impression into that wax, and that impression that was in that represented his personage. And as long as that seal was there and it was unbroken, that seal was unbroken, and then his very his word, his personage was identified with that signet. And so when the Bible says that he was the very express image, that the very image of God was manifest in the Lord Jesus Christ, he was the fullness of the Godhead bodily. He was the literal reflection of God, though he was not the reflector, but he was the reflection himself. He was the very expression of God in person and in being and in attribute and in characteristic. Not a second person, but the very person. The very life of God, Zoe, Logos himself, expressed in a human being. And so we realize that Brother Bam tells us that what was ever in the bridegroom, that is also what is materialized by the word being engrafted. The Bible says that the word is engrafted or grafted in to us, that we have received this indwelling of the Holy Spirit. He said, I'll be with you, I'll be in you. The very word that he's making this statement there, that Paul said, it's no longer I that liveth, but it's Christ that lives in me. That he would send a comforter, and that comforter would be with us. It would be in us. It would remind us. It would enlighten us. It would encourage us. It would comfort us, and that he would be with us, even in us, and to the consummation. In Christ, the mystery of God revealed, Brother Man makes this statement. He said, therefore, the body cannot recognize, don't fail this, the body therefore cannot recognize any other headship but the word. Because the head is connected with the body, and the head is the word, and it is the same word, one headship. Therefore, denominations, holy fathers, and everything else is dead dung. There is one headship, that's Christ. The body only recognizes one thing, the word. Amen? And so, so when the word then is sent to a generation, that word then, in order for it to be recognized by the people, that God would always vindicate that word. When Paul came and began to preach to the people, we find that there was times that the people actually bowed down to worship Paul. That they brought him offerings and things in light of homage. And when he survived the snake bite there at Malta, They bowed down to worship him, because that no man could do this. This was not something that just a man by his words could accomplish, but they realized that this was a lethal bite by this venomous snake, and they knew that no man was going to live from this. And when Paul shook it off in the fire and went about telling them about the Lord Jesus and saw no hurt, the Bible says they came to worship him, and they fell down at his feet, and he said, no, don't do this, don't do that. Far be it, we're just servants, we're just the ministers of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, but there, what was striking was that every time that God would send a message through a messenger and then vindicate that messenger to the very point of irrefutable supernatural vindication, then the people then got their eyes off of God and got their eyes on the man, and actually tried to deify the individual rather than to give credit to the Lord Jesus or to God himself. But that is the program that God has always used. He said, Jesus told them that to whom the word of the Lord has come to, ye are gods. And so the Lord Jesus wasn't going to take away that position or that title of godship away from his church, because we realize that he said, as I quoted this morning, that he gave them power to be called the sons of deity. Amen. And if I am a man, a human, a mortal, a homo sapien by genus, then guess what? My children are of the same genus. You know, and if dog beget dog, and cow beget cow, and man beget man, then what did God beget? Amen. If he had sons, then his sons were the sons of God. And I know that that's hard to swallow sometimes, but if God is a deity, if he is divine, then his children are divine. Because they have the same blood, they have the same DNA, they have the same desire, the same characteristic that their heavenly Father has. Hallelujah. And so if Jesus Christ was the express image of God, and he said, I and my Father are one, and then they took up stones to stone him because he, being a man, had made himself God, but what they failed to recognize that he was God who made himself a man. And he was the God man, and they took up stones to stone him. Brother Graham says, and when you can say that I and my Father are one, they'll take up stones to stone you too. Hallelujah. When we can realize that I'm not the Savior, I'm not the Creator, but I am the Son of God, I'm a daughter of God, and I have an authority, and I have an inheritance, and I have a position with God Himself. The Bible says that we are heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. And so if when Jesus prayed and he said, do you always do hear me? And if Jesus prayed and God heard that prayer, then how much more would he hear one of his sons that have been redeemed by the very blood that Jesus shed? And if that same life is living in you, then that same power and same authority, even more so, because you become the purchase of that blood. Oh my, and he thought more of the purchase than he thought of the blood. More value was put in the purchase than it was in the blood itself. Now, how do we know that the word of the hour is correct? There was many preachers at the turn of the century and during the 40s and 50s and 60s that had supernatural, had bigger tents than Brother Branham, had greater followings than Brother Branham, had greater acclaim and all these other kinds of prestigious awards and things were given and identification was given to them. But yet, none of them, not one, not then, not now, not according to history, not according to the newspapers, not according to the media of that day, his critics or his followers. No one could ever come and point to a ministry that was as vindicated as William Branham. Then or now. Nobody could, we'll say, tout the results or the vindication of what was given to William Branham. I mean, we just want to look at a couple of things. Because we're looking at recognition. Amen. To vindicate, the word vindicate by itself, by definition, means to prove that which is spoken is the truth. So there was something that was spoken, there was a word that was spoken, a ministry, and this is where Brother Branham actually had to question, he actually says that, I question your intelligence. He said, they said, Brother Branham makes a statement. He said, they say that when William Branham is under the discernment that that's a prophetic gift, that was God. But when he begins to teach his doctrine, he said that's where he goes false. He says in order to make that statement, he said, I must question your intelligence. Why would God give somebody a gift and make them responsible for such a ministry that he could look down your life and tell you where you came from, what you did, things that happened to you as a child, and tell you why you have the sicknesses and the diseases and the nervousness and the things that you're going through, and be able to call out things that you've not repented of all the way back to your early adulthood. And then let that man turn around and preach something that was false. But he could always bring his message back to the Word. And so we realize that that which was spoken, that when Brother Branham preached the original sin, when he began to tell the people that thus saith the Lord concerning whatever doctrine, that the revelation of the seals, the church ages, marriage and divorce, eternal security, the serpent seed, all these different doctrines that Brother Branham preached and taught as emphatic and as a revelation of the Scripture, and many of them couldn't even be taught or preached until after the preaching of the seals. And then come back and say it's absolutely thus saith the Lord, and then to say that that was false, but yet that same man that preached those things could turn around over here and say, but you were chased by a dog and you were in a checkered dress and it run you up on the porch and it scared you so bad, and that's why you have digestive problems today as an adult.
Yeah, exactly.
He said, so if God could tell me something that happened back here and it's absolutely the truth and nobody knew it but you and I standing here, then surely the one that would let me know that there would let me tell you, thus saith the Lord, you're delivered and you're healed.
Amen.
And if he would do those things to vindicate, Brother Adam said, that was just the bait on the hook, and the hook was the revelation of the Word that was laying there.
Amen.
Now, no other ministry, bar none, historically, there's no one that can refute, as I've said, no other ministry was ever given the jurisdiction to use the Messiah authority as was Brother Branham.
Amen.
That he would actually be able to discern the thoughts and the intents of the heart. No ministry. There was many ministries that had word of knowledge. They could hit here, hit there. But Brother Branham would stand there night after night, year after year, and say, is there anyone in this material audience that can tell me one time that the vision ever failed? And multiplied tens of thousands of people had to stand there and give a credit to what had happened under the inspiration of the vision. Nobody was ever given that authority before nor since. And nobody ever will. Because it was the ministry of Jesus Christ himself, and he had veiled himself in his prophet messenger for the day. To do what? But to clothe a bride with a revealed word. And so that's what my question is. How do we know that the message is correct? Because God vindicated it. He left us with no questions. No, there was no legitimate doubts. Many people have doubts. Many people have questions, but none of their questions or doubts are legitimate. They're all skewed by agenda some way or another, because they don't want to believe it. And I don't believe it because I want to believe it. I believe it because something inside of me, apart from myself, identifies with it. And so, you know, ultimately, at the end of the day, that not everybody was ordained to see what you see. That's why we say this morning that it was for your eyes only. It was a need to know. And so God wanted, God knew that you needed to know. And so He expressed it in such a way so that you would know it. Amen. And that you wouldn't be able to deny it. That it would be just a part of you. It would be a reality to you. And you would be satisfied with that. I asked myself the question many times, what did I ever do to deserve it? What did I ever, I never asked for this. It just came my way. It presented itself to me. It was God drawing me. It was that light. I was just that little dewdrop. I didn't know how I got here. All I know is here I am. I'm shaking out here on a leaf. It's dark. It's cold. Amen. But then something all starts happening. The sun starts rising. The temperature starts rising. And all of a sudden, I just got happy. And all of a sudden, I just rose up to it. It's just a natural reaction. Amen. To the little dewdrop. Why did God send a prophet that would preach to us from dewdrops and leaves and chickens and eagles and deer and all these other things, natural things that were so seemingly beneath the theological realms? It was because there was going to be a simple people that would be able to understand this encoded message that was a part of them from the foundations of the world. And it wouldn't have mattered if it come from Einstein or if it come from a Kentucky hillbilly. The bride of Jesus Christ was going to understand it. He was going to make sure that you would understand it. And so now we live in a day. It's a day of positive identification. You could have, and if you do, I trust you'll remember us poor missionaries. But if you have $1 million in your bank account, And you would have that there, and you would go to the bank. Guess what? Without positive identification, you're as broke as I am. Is that right? Because you have to show that identification in order to be able to acquire that which actually belongs to you. Well, because it's a day for that. There was a time that, you know, Miss Mary or Miss Clark down at the bank, I could walk in there and I'd say, "How you doing, Miss Clark?" She's going, "I'm doing just fine. How are you doing, Dale?" "Oh, I'm doing fine. Say, I need to make a withdrawal from my savings." She goes, "Well, how much would you like?" And I said, I just need, you know, $20 or $30. That's probably about all I had in there. And she would say, "Well, that'd be just fine." And she would fill out my withdrawal slip for me. And she had put it in the thing, and she had reached in the till, pull out a $20 bill, hand it to me, and down the road I'd go. Why? Because she could identify me. We had a relationship that was, but now, after the day, that the time and the hour that we live in, that even if she knows me, we could be, that could be my mother that worked in the bank. She could not give me the money until I present her with some form of identification. I've got to be able to scan my card. I've got to be able to give her a picture ID. I've got to have a signature card on file. And these things are going to identify me regardless of who's standing behind the till. Oh my. And so, this form of identification has progressed. And Brother Ram begins to tell us that whatever you see happening in the scientific world or in man's achievement, that this achievement then is now reflected back in the church. And he gave us the type of horsepower and the ox cart and how that it advanced, and this achievement advanced to the automobile, to the airplane, all the way to the astronaut. And you know the advancement and achievement type that Brother Branham uses there. Well, he said that happens any time you see this advancement in technology and in intelligence. In the world, he said, that's what God is fixing to do to the church. And so I just thought it was striking that in the hour that we live in, and now, you know, most a lot of people that they have these new smartphones. And on, like on my smartphone, I just find it so much easier than, because I can't never remember my PIN numbers, but I do have something that I don't have to worry about is a thumbprint. And so I have my phone set up, so all I have to do is scan the thumbprint on the little scanner on my phone, and it'll take me to my American Express account. It'll take me to my bank account. It'll take me to my, you know, to whatever my, whatever they call it, apps, the different apps that I have on there. It automatically does that because it's scanning my thumbprint. It makes a positive ID. You couldn't do it. You couldn't use your thumbprint. It won't recognize you. But my phone recognizes me, and it lets me have access to everything that's mine within the confines of that phone. And they call this biometrics. In other words, that we have stored inside the phone a statistical record of who I am. It's got my PIN number, it's got my identification number, it's got my user ID number, it's got my date of birth, it has my social security number, and all this statistical information of who I am that is associated with my phone account, and with all my credit cards, and with my bank, and whatever more. And I have to log in those statistical credentials into that system, and then I have to seal the deal with some form of biological signature, whether it be facial recognition, voice recognition. I have one account that they automatically know me. If I just speak into the phone, it knows that who I am by voice recognition. A lot of my phone apps are with a thumbprint recognition. Brother Jason has a new i10. It's the iPhone 10, and all he has to do is look at his phone, and it starts giving him, you know, access to all the everything that's in his phone. Maybe some of you have that. And so we realize that this is a biological signature that's tied into the statistical record over here. So now then the two come together. Remember Brother Bram talks about the little woman at the well and said what was happening there, that Jesus was giving her an experience. And said this experience that Jesus was giving her, she was able to combine that with the old word. That there was a statistical record of the word that said that when Messiah cometh, he will do these things. And when Messiah came, he gave her an experience, and so now she was able to take what the Word said about Messiah and compare it to what Messiah was doing, and when the two came together, Brother Ram said, it dovetailed like the laundry ticket. And so when that laundry ticket came together, watch what Brother Ram says. He said, now when this came together, he said, what did it do? It made Messiah for her. And quickly her sins were forgiven. Why? Because there was this biometric, amen, expression had taken place that God had identified himself. He had a statistical record of the scripture, and he compared it with the experience that he was giving to her, a physical signature by a physical man. And he came, he said, I have needs to go by way of Samaria because I need to be recognized by one of my children. And so in order to be recognized by one of these children, I'm going to have to do something that is top secret that only that gene seed can recognize. Oh my, when it came by your way, friends, what did it do? Something inside of you, amen, this experience that God was giving you, combined with what you already understood that the Scripture said it would do, and what did it do? But it created a Messiah in your midst, and quickly your sins were forgiven, and you were justified, and you were filled with the Holy Ghost. Not something you could do by yourself. But what was it? He had access to the inner sanctums, into the inner veil of your soul. He put a signature lock on that only God himself had access to. Satan could attack your mind. Brother Man said you could be absolutely insane and still be full of the Holy Ghost. That he could attack your mind. He could attack your physical body. He can attack your domestic life. He can do all these things. But as he spoke to the devil in those days, in the time of Job, he said, you can touch his life. You can do anything you want to. He said, you just can't, or you can touch his possessions. You can touch everything he has. You can touch his body. He said, but you can't touch his life. You can't have that. That's mine. God had access to that. And friends, when God has access to it, there's a lot of things that may come your way. You may have all kinds of struggles. You may have all kinds of attacks. There might be all kinds of malware and spamware and all these other things that are attacking you, trying to pull out all the top secret things that are in your life. But let me tell you, there's only one thing that can access your soul. And that's the only thing that God is concerned with in your life. Because our bodies are going to fail us, our minds are going to fail us, our spirits are going to fail us, our hearts are going to lie to us, they're exceedingly wicked. All these things are going to fail us, but at the end of the day, amen, we have to be like Job, and we have to stand there when everything else fails, and everything else goes south on us, and we can say, the Lord giveth, and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Why? Something on the inside is going to reach down. It's going to find something in the Word, and it's going to anchor itself there, and nothing's going to move it. Amen. Think about it. Hallelujah. So, this day of positive identification, they use this term as a science of biometrics. And everything is connected to it some way or another. Your FBI record is connected to it. If you're ever a government official or been in the military or been arrested or whatever, they take a fingerprint. They take a picture. And that picture and that fingerprint, and now they take DNA. You have an actual blood signature that is stored in this statistical locker of information that belongs to you. And so that now if I go to another country, if I want to fly internationally, well, if I just pull out my driver's license, or maybe I've got a little ID card that says I'm a minister from Bethel Tabernacle, and I show that to them, they'll laugh at me. They say, I'm sorry, Reverend, but that's not going to get you into that other country. You know, if I want to go to Canada, you know, as much as they would like me to come up there and spend my money, they're not going to let me come in up there. If I just show them my driver's license, or I could even pull out my birth certificate, say I'm an American. They say, I'm sorry, Mr. Smith, but that's just not going to work. We have a requirement. And that requirement is that you have a passport. You must have a government-issued passport. And that government-issued passport, it has a chip inside of it. And that chip is tied to your statistical record. It tells all about you, where you were born, who your mother and father were, where they were born. It tells your home address. It tells your trade, your occupation. It tells everything there is about you. And they compare that with a facial recognition software. That when you stand in front of them, they take a picture of you. They take a scan of your passport. And then they bring the two photos together. And they make sure that the person that is handing that passport off is the person that's standing there. And that they're the same people. That the same person. There's going to be this dovetailing of the biological with the statistical. Simple. Well, if God required that of man, that there would have to be some kind of that you would have to be identified by the experience that God has given you. The Bible says that you must be filled with the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, you must be born again. The Bible tells us that without the Spirit of Christ, that we are none of His. So he requires this biological and statistical to come together to form what we would call the new birth. Amen. That there has to be this word experience or this word reference of you, that we are able to see ourselves in the Bible. And then that because we're coming into the same image. We read that this morning. James talked about beholding that natural man in the mirror, and then, but that it was in the mirror of the perfect law of liberty. That there has to be a record of us somewhere, or else we cannot use the word restore. You cannot be restored if you weren't stored. You had to be stored once in order to be restored. Is that right? So there has to be a storage, or you have to be deemed in order to be redeemed. You have to be possessed of God. You had to have been there before you can be restored or redeemed. Otherwise, the word makes no sense whatsoever. And so in order for me to get the full benefit of redemption, then I must recognize that I was there first. I was a part of the heavenly before I became of earthly. And so therefore, my access to eternal life has to be that I cannot go under my first birth. My first birth cannot get me there. My first birth, I was born in sin, shaped in iniquity, come into the world speaking lies. That's why Jesus said, you must be born again. And this gives you not a new identity, but what Brother Branham said, restores you to the identity that you had before the foundation of the world. So it puts you back into your true identity, who I was from the beginning. Oh, now, by the new birth, I can combine my biological signature of who I realize I am, my recognition, amen, back to what I was in the predestination of God, in the election of God, and that gives me access to God. Now then I can say, I'm bone of his bone. I'm flesh of his flesh. I'm life of his life. I'm quoting the message. Am I right? And Brother Bram said, she is him. So now then, now my recognition or my identification says that I am Mrs. Jesus Christ. And because I am Mrs. Jesus Christ, and the statistical lines up with the biological, then I can ask whatsoever things that I desire, and they'll be given to me. Why? Because he said I could. Not because I manufactured something or I'm trying to impersonate something, but because he himself declared, he said, ask and you shall receive. He said, you don't receive. He said, you don't ask and you don't receive because you don't believe. But if you believe, then you receive. Oh my. All right, so now, so that God himself would require this identification, recognition of the individual in order to have access back to God. That you want to, we sing the song that we're going behind the veil. We want to go in that inner veil. We want to be sealed. We want to be in that that Shekinah glory. Amen. We want to go behind the veil in the Shekinah glory. You can't get there under a justification experience. Amen. That's an outer court experience. It gives you certain benefits, but guess what? You have to go beyond just a voice recognition, as it were, where he hears your voice, but now you have to go beyond that. There has to be that's justification by confession, gives you justification. You're justified by faith. Your confession gives you justification. You can step into that first realm. But we need to go further than that. Amen. And so now there has to be a deeper, more intimate identification. So we go into that blood. And what we're sanctified by the blood. So he begins to check the DNA. So they do a little finger prick on your finger and you put a little drop of blood on this little scanner and it checks your DNA and makes sure that you're who you say you are. It's a different kind of recognition. That'll get you into sanctification. That'll get you into the inner courts. But guess what? We can't stop there. We can't stop there. There has to be a deeper form of identification. The Bible tells us that your eye is the window to your soul. And so they have what they call a retina scanner, and it scans the very your very retina of your eye. I thought, oh my, think about it, that when God wants to look down and see what's on the inside of the soul, the Bible says, if the light in your eye is darkness, then how great is that darkness? Oh, but if that light that is in your eye is the light of liberty, if it's the light of God, then it will enlighten your whole soul so that when God looks in there, He sees a reflection of Himself. And when He sees Himself, He identifies you with Him. And then you can go in behind the veil into the Shekinah where all things are possible to them that believe. Oh, you see, now you're moving into that place where life, and they actually said that under the Jewish custom that when they spoke of the inner veil, the Holy of Holies, that that was actually the place, it was kind of the same language as is used as the marriage chamber, the place of intimacy. So that when we go into that veil, that mercy seat, that was a place of intimacy. That those cherubims, they covered that place of intimacy. That the believer could go to that place where that God Himself could now reveal His full characteristics to His bride. I thought, oh my. And that's God revealing Himself more and more. Us recognizing more and more the depth, the understanding that we can have as we get closer and closer to the Lord Jesus. And so I thought this was striking. That he would make this requirement of the believer. But yet, we realize that Brother Bam tells us in the Shepherd of the Sheepfold, that in order for the shepherd to identify himself with his sheep, that they would put a certain mark on the sheep, a brand as it were, or a cut, or a scar, an X, or whatever it might have been that they marked the sheep with. In the old day, that the shepherd could come and say, these are my sheep. And they would say, well, how do you know? He said, because it has my mark on it. And then they would say, but how do we know that's your mark? And then he would have to reveal the mark that he put on the sheep, he put on himself. And so they would put that mark, they would make that scar, the same scar they put on the sheep, they put on themselves. And so that the shepherd was branded with the same brand the sheep had. I thought, oh my, think about that. That when Christ Himself, He wanted you to be identified. And He said, take up your cross and follow me. Then what did He do? But He put the cross upon Himself first. And so He identified Himself with the crucifixion. And now the Bible tells that we are crucified with Christ. So that now we bear the same mark, the same rejection. That He was despised and rejected. Brother Adam said the bride is despised and rejected. He said there was no beauty we would desire of Him. There's no beauty we would desire of her. She was despised. He was despised. He would put the same mark upon the believer. That there would be a place that the Lord Himself would have to come to have this biometric identification. And so that you would understand that the message that He sent to you in the last days would be true, He Himself would have to do something to vindicate Himself. Because there were so many men, as we said, none were given a message like Brother Branham. But nevertheless, when man was going to be identified by his fingerprints or by his retina scans or facial recognition or all these other kind of things, that God Himself would say, "But I want to be marked like they're marked. I want to plow with the plowman. I want to drive with the driver. I want to build with the builder. I want to cook with the baker. I want to be one of them." He was a great king. He wanted to come down and he wanted to be one of us. And so we find that in order to be identified with a certain nation, that you would have to have this biometric identification to be identified with a nation. And so that the Lord wanted to also identify Himself with a nation, with a people, with a selected group. And so that what the Lord did was He sent us a prophet. And that prophet was the identification according to the Scripture. He said that according to Hebrews 13:8, that He would be the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so the messenger would come to fulfill all that was spoken of Him in the Bible. That Amos would tell us that God wouldn't do anything unless He revealed Himself through His servants, the prophets. So we're looking for a prophet. And this prophet would do exactly what Jesus did when He was here. And He tells us that over. He says, "Isn't that what Jesus did when He was here?" And He would discern. He said, there's a man and a woman. Maybe she might have been a black woman or an Indian or something. And He would say, "Now then, we're not of the same tribe. We can tell that she's a woman. I'm a man. She's of a different race than I am." He said, "But this is very much like the Bible." And He would go through the whole scenario of the woman at the well. And then He said, and He would tell her something that was in her life. He said, "Is this not exactly what the Lord Jesus did when He was here?" And so He tells us that according to Luke, tells us so shall it be in the days when the Son of Man is being revealed. And so we knew that the Lord would identify Himself in three names. He would come as Son of Man, as Son of God, and as Son of David. But yet we realize that the next time that He's to be revealed would be through the Son of David in the millennium. But we find then that according to Luke, that just before that He would come again and identify Himself in a ministry like He had when He was Son of Man upon the earth. And this Son of Man ministry would be identified by the Messiah sign of the discerning of the thoughts and intents of the heart, and by a healing ministry that would be unprecedented. And so we find that when Brother Branham comes on the scene, that we have the statistical record of everything that God said this messenger would be. Amen. So we had it there. And then in 1952, they're having a debate in Houston Coliseum. And Brother Branham doesn't go there. He says, "I won't fuss with them." But Brother Bosworth says, "I'll go." And so Brother Bosworth thwarts Dr. Best. And stifles him, shuts him up immediately. But then when Brother Branham comes to the platform, then here's Mr. Best with his finger in Brother Bosworth's face, and he's got the Catholic photographer, and he's taking the pictures. And he takes this whole roll of film, taking pictures of this man putting his finger in Brother Branham's face and his finger in Brother Bosworth's face and making all these things. And then the man just all of a sudden, he snaps one picture of Brother Branham and it goes off and develops the film. When he develops the film, there's none of the pictures are developed. Only one. And that one picture shows this pillar of fire over the top of Brother Branham. And I know you know these things, but I'm just bringing you to our thought here on recognition. was that here stood Brother Branham, who was the statistical record personified. Everything that had been spoken concerning Elijah and the end time prophet was materialized right there in a human being. And that pillar of fire hanging over him, Brother Branham said, was nothing other than the same pillar of fire that met Paul on the road to Damascus when he said, "Who art thou, Lord?" He said, "I am Jesus Christ whom thou persecutest." That it was Jesus Christ in Logos form. And so here come God down in a bodily form in a Logos pillar of fire. And now takes his picture with the prophet of God. And so they take the picture. And what was striking to me, which brings us back to our whole thought here, was that God wasn't going to just send it off to Walt Disney. He didn't send the picture off to Hollywood. He didn't even send it off to the United Nations. But he sent the picture off to Mr. George J. Lacey, who was the head of the fingerprint and questionable documents of the FBI. Brother Brown said it was the highest qualification in the world. Nobody was higher than Mr. George J. Lacey to investigate that photograph. Why did God do that? So that it would be irrefutable that when God come down to reveal himself to his people, that he would show his passport and say, "This is who I am. Hallelujah. This is my biomatrix. This is my statistical record. And this is my physical signature. And I'm putting my signature upon this ministry. And this ministry, I signed my own name and put my own fingerprint to it. My own DNA has been photographed here with this messenger. And it'll stand pat, and it's there today. And I was just there not too long ago. And they brought it out. And I looked at it. And I saw it. It's in Washington, D.C. They can tell you what they want to. It's there. I'm a witness. I saw God's passport. I saw God's fingerprint. I saw his identification. Amen. I've seen his signature. Amen. God identified himself with "Thus saith the Lord" in our day. Oh, I think about those things, friends. Where are we in this hour? When God himself come down and said, "I can come in. I can sup with you. I can fellowship with you. I can sit down here with you as God, and you and my people." He brings us into the inner sanctum, the round table. And he begins to show you things that are to be. Begins to give you Christ revealed in his own word. Begins the unveiling of God. The invisible union.
Amen.
Fellowship. Identification. Why did he send us messages like that? Why did all those messages come in the order that they came? It was because God wanted you to see. He was going to bring you a statistical record. But then he was going to say, "But this is me. This is me. This picture that's in Washington, D.C., that it matches everything that's in this Bible. Everything that this Bible said he would do, he did." And so now that when God puts a signature on it, he wants to come down. He's going to show you, "This is what kingdom I'm from. This is the nation I'm from." And so now then we can say, "But I'm one of them. Though these people may not learned be, nor boast of worldly fame, they have all received their passport, baptized in Jesus' name." Hallelujah. Oh, I mean, I've been birthed by the Spirit. His power is yet the same. And I can say I'm one of them. I can hold that passport up.
Amen.
Amen. My passport is the Word of God. Amen. My picture's on it. I'm from this. I'm going back to this. One time there was a battle between the Ephraimites and the Gileadites. I know you've heard the story. And the Gileadites were routing the Ephraimites. And they came to the fords of the Jordan. And the Gileadites said, hey, the Ephraimites, they can't say Shibboleth, but they say Sibboleth. And they can't frame the word sh in the word. He said, so when they come, we ask them about the crossing and they say Sibboleth, then we kill them. Because they can't frame the word.
Amen.
And I thought, oh, it was biometrics. It was they had to come. They may be able to dress right. They may be able to impersonate. They may be able to put on a good air. But when they come to the place of the crossing of the Jordan, amen, which is a type of going over into the promised land, a type of death to self. And that's where people, I find today, that they cannot go any further with God because they cannot frame the word to die to self. That they're still going to hold on to something of their past, some denominational idea, some sinful little secret sin that's going to hold them back, and they're going to die right there at the crossing. Because they can't frame the word. Oh, but if you ever got born a Gileadite, oh, then it would just be natural. You just Shibboleth, and you'd come right in. There was another time that the Apostle Peter, and they had taken the Lord Jesus, they had arrested the Lord, and they took him into the judgment. And John had actually, because he knew the high priest, that he was able to get Peter access. Well, he got inside there, and now it was cold, and so they got over there, and he started warming himself by the fire. And now there was some people gathered around there, and one of them heard Peter speaking and said, hey, you're one of them Galileans. You're one of them. You're one of his disciples. Now, because we're in the South and we're kind of a multicultural environment, then you'll understand some of these Yankees come down here and you know exactly where they're from. It's all right, Brother Luther. We love you. But then you get some Westerner like me that comes out here, and you know, you slow down just long enough and you'll see that, well, that Texas drawl just ain't quite wore off yet. And then you get somebody from down Louisiana and they got a certain way about them. And you get somebody from up in Ohio and they say certain, you know, somebody from Minnesota and they say a certain way. And you get different people from different places. Everybody's got a little different slant on their, you know, the way that they talk. And so, you know, the North Carolinians, you know, they think them people down in Georgia, they talk so fast and so funny. And out west, they think, oh, you're from South Carolina. And oh my, they talk so funny. And everybody, and you know, you get some poor little Mexican guy from down in southern New Mexico, and nobody can understand him. And they make fun of them all the time. And everybody's got their little quirk on their language. Well, that's what was happening here. That they were in this upscale metropolitan Jerusalem where everybody spoke the lingo of the day, as it were. But Peter was from Galilee. He's like down the bayou. You know, and he just had a bad language. You know, he was y'all. And ain't and taint and tote and fetch. Come on, are you with me? Amen. He had hillbilly language. Amen. And so the Bible tells us they use this word. And I'll read to you from the scripture. He says, and after a while came they unto him that stood by and said unto Peter, surely thou art one of them, for thy speech bewrayeth thee. Now, many times we think that means betrayeth, but it doesn't. Bewrayeth has a little bit different meaning. And it means that it manifests you. Your language, this language that you speak, But it manifests who you are. And so in other words, he had a draw. He had maybe he chopped his words off, or maybe he had like a real hick kind of language. And that hick kind of language, when he'd come down there and say, "I'm going to sit down here by a fire. Y'all don't mind if I get on here and warm myself a little while, do you?" And they said, "Who is this? Posh, posh, you know. You know? Who is this? What kind of redneck is this? You know, he's over there talking about y'all and, you know, eating Georgia ice cream. They call him Grits, you know. And, it's all kind of crazy stuff. You know, he just y'all, you know, reckon things like that." They're like, "What kind of rock did he crawl out from under? He must be one of them. Because his speech manifested him. It was certainty that he was not from around here." And so it revealed who he was. And sometimes I wonder that, you know, when we start thinking in our minds and we, you know, when we begin to speak and we begin to use words like manifest and theophany and Melchizedek and all these kind of things, and the birth of the word and the seed gene, and we use these words and they become household language. What is it? It bereaveth us. It manifests us. Why? Because I'm feeding upon it. I'm fellowshipping with it. Everywhere I go, I start talking like Jesus. Well, guess what? Peter talked like Jesus. They got your English accent on the Lord, and, you know, "Unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no part with me." Jesus didn't talk like that. I'm sorry. He was from Nazareth. He was raised in a carpenter shop around carpenters. You know, "Howdy, what do y'all think? Reckon this, that, and the other." He was country folk. He was common people. And the Bible said that the common people heard him gladly. Why? Because he spoke their language. He understood the way that they felt. He understood the way their passions were. He could be touched by the feelings of their infirmities. You know how it is. You know, he spoke the common language of the common man. He could associate with the simple people. You can't go in there speaking the Queen's English and have prostitutes and people like that have anything to, they won't give you the time of day. But when they can come in there and speak their language, not only could he speak their language, he could feel what they felt. He heard, he could hear their hearts. He could respond. And so is it today, that when Jesus comes in our midst, he has needs to come by way of Hickory tonight. He had needs to come by and sit down and say, "Hey, fetch me a drink." He said, "But you ain't got nothing to get a drink with." He said, "But if you knew who was talking to you, you'd ask me for a drink." He said, "Well, you ain't got nothing to draw with." He said, "But, well, the drink I give, it'll give you wells, springs flowing up into everlasting life." He can speak your language tonight. Maybe you may be from the north or the south, the east or the west. Maybe you come from overseas. Maybe you have another land of nativity. I don't know where you come from, but Jesus knows how to speak your language. And he'll speak to you in a way that you understand it. He's identified himself. He's come down in this last days to identify himself with mankind. He left the splendor of heaven. What condescension, bringing us redemption, that Christ put on the form of man to reveal the hidden plan. He's here among us this evening. And I shared with the young people, stay close to the Master. Stay close to the Master. Speak to Him in your language. You don't have to form special words and, you know, elongated prayers and all kinds of protracted sayings. Brother Branham wrote a little letter to the Lord. Said, Sir, help me. If you can say those three words with sincerity in your heart, Jesus understands. He'll identify Himself to you. He'll come to you tonight. He'll make Himself real to you. All you have to do is come in that identification of the Spirit of God. The Bible says that a broken and contrite spirit, He will in no wise cast out. Do you realize that that you could go to a certain, CIA or FBI or the DOD or a Pentagon or whatever place you want to go to up in Washington? And if you walked up there and said, I really want to go in here and I really want to read some of the latest and greatest investigative articles on Donald Trump and on the, Russian this and that, and I want to read all these top secret investigations. And so you do. I said, absolutely I do. And well, why do you want to read it? Well, just because I do. I need some preaching material. And then I said, well, who are you? I said, well, I'm Dale Smith. I go to Bethel Tabernacle down in Beaufort, South Carolina. He said, well, Mr. Smith, I really don't think that you're supposed to read those things. Well, I said, I want to read them anyways. I'm an American. You're my passport. And they look at me like, but you don't need to know those things. It's not for you to know those things. And I could get there and I could get so emotional. And I could start bawling and I could kick my feet. I could stomp, suck my thumb. Say, you've got to let me listen. I want to read it. I want to know all about it. And I say, yeah, just have a seat over here. We'll have somebody to help you here in a little bit. You know? And now I'd find myself down at the nut ward. I have no need to know those things. And I have no clearance to get there. But can you imagine that here tonight that you could bypass the White House? You could bypass the Kremlin? You could bypass the moon, the stars, and the Milky Way. And that you could have access to the very throne room of God Almighty Himself. And all you have to do is come and sincerely with all of your heart, say, Master, I need an appointment. And if that heart is sincere before God, and you can, and not by manufacturing some crocodile tears, but if you, through sincerity, with a need on your heart, could approach the throne of God, the doors would be opened, all the locks would turn, and all the tumblers would roll out of the way, and all the lasers and all the everything, the securities and all these things, Jesus would come and He would drop His priestly robes. And He would come with His nail-scarred hands. And He would enter you, welcome you into His presence. Friends, they may have access to places that I might not never get to go. I'm here to tell you tonight, I have access into a place that, amen, every man should want to go. But not every man will go. Because most people are too earthly-minded. And there are no heavenly good. Oh, let us lay aside every weight, every sin, everything that would so easily beset us. And let us come into that place where the Lord can reveal to you things that about yourself many times. You know, so many times people wonder, well, if I had a gift like Brother Bam, then I'd know this and I know that. Oh my. There's a lot, most things I wouldn't want to know about other people. If I could ever get to a place where I could know more about myself, if I could see what makes me tick, because sometimes I don't really even know what I need to know about myself. But if He could reveal to me, this is why I'm the way I am, and so I need to fix that, or I need to change that, or I need to stop that, or I need to do that. If I could ever get to that place, if I could ever get to the one who made me, if I could ever get to the one who made me, then He could show me how to fix me. Amen. Do you love Him tonight? Let's stand to our feet. You know that little chorus, He knows my name. I have a Father. Amen. Maybe help me with the words. I have a Maker. He formed my heart even before time began. My life was in His hands. Think about it. Help me out. Amen. Have a Maker. He formed my heart. Even time began, my life was in His hands. He knows my name. He knows my every thought. He sees. I have a Father, hallelujah, and He calls me His own. He'll never leave me, no matter where I go. Surely, Lord, You hear our cries when we cry at night, Lord, when our hearts are broken, when our lives and our minds are all in a stir and confusion on every hand. But Lord, You're the Maker. Lord, when the world was in chaos and the water and darkness covered the face of the earth, You spoke to the chaos. The waters pulled back and the light shined. You brought order in a place where there was before chaos. Lord, if You could do that in such a macro way, what could You do in my little microwave? My little chaos, Lord, tonight. My little struggle, my little... You're very much aware of each and every one of us today, Lord. Father, you have access. You have the key card. Lord, you have the legitimate pass that can pass all security, pass all identification. Lord, you can come down. You can meet me here in this place. Lord, it's in a time when we need you more than we've ever needed you in life. So, Lord, we invite you, Lord, to come and help us fix what's broken, Lord. We realize that things aren't working the way they should. We don't have the faith that we should have. We don't have the authority that we should have. We don't have the power working in us that we should have. But you have it. You have everything that we have need of. Lord, it's sealed. Your prophet said we have untapped resources. Lord, we just pray that you'll give us the secret, the code, as it were. He knows my name.
Reminded of the first time I ever went into the White House, and my wife and I were there, and Andrew and Peter, they were just little guys back then, and we had all of the clearances done and so forth, and we were just going to go visit the friend that we had in the White House, the personal chef, and he's going to give us a tour, so everything was arranged, and we walk up to the gatehouse, and there's a white gatehouse that's there, and you have to go through several layers of security, and Walter had told us exactly what to do, and so we went up to this first gate. And I always remember that guy, he just kind of looked at us like, what are you doing here? He didn't say that, but he had this look at, you know, we're protecting something here, and we don't want you to come in here unless you're absolutely got permission to come in. And he just kind of looked at us like that, and he said, you know, can I help you? And I told him, I said, we're here to see Walter. And he said, well... He said, do you have any identification? We showed him who it was, and he said, well, he said, I'm not sure. And I said, well, just call the man inside. Just call him. And he did, and his guard called him up and so forth. And all of the layers of security, they just kind of drop one by one by one, because somebody at the end of the road and there, somebody inside knew exactly who we were. And they were expecting us. And so everything opened up for us. Let me tell you, you might run into all kinds of obstacles. And there's lots of ways that you might run into barriers along the way. But as long as he knows, he's able to open up all those doors all the way out to where you are and allow you to come on the inside. It depends on whether you know him or not.
Hallelujah.
And if you know him and he's got your name, you don't have a worry in the world. Because all the other layers of security, they all just kind of opened up, and we just walked right in and met Walter, and no problem at all. I'll tell you what, I feel good today. I'm glad we've been in the house of the Lord. I'm glad we've been able to be here and to be able to enjoy the presence of the Lord today. We needed that, and God gave it to us, and we're thankful for that. Let's sing that little chorus, "Come Unto Me," and we sang it this morning, I believe it was, in B flat. I think it was. Cross of Calvary.
His holy name. Once again now, all I want to do is love Him. So glad I feel His love for me. And my Jesus paid the price of redemption on the cross of Calvary. Every day my heart will praise Him, and I know I'll never be the same. All I want to do is love Him, love His holy.
Bow our heads together and let's have a word of prayer. And I believe what Brother Dale said today, I believe you can make an appointment with Him.
Hallelujah.
I believe you can just say two and three simple words and call that high priest into action. I believe that tonight. So if you have a need while we're praying together, just reach out to Him in sincerity. Heavenly Father, as we approach Your throne of mercy, Lord, I want to say on behalf of this congregation that we thank You today for Your presence, Lord. You have helped us. You have encouraged us, Lord. In the day when most people, Lord, would feel great sadness, Lord, You have lifted our spirits, and I thank You for that. Lord, there's nothing like Your presence. There's nothing like the Word that comforts our souls as You can bring it, Lord. And I thank You for using Brother Dale today just to minister to our hearts and our spirits. We pray now today, Lord, that each one that reaches out to You in simplicity and in sincerity, that, Lord, You would reach back to them, because Your prophet taught us when we made a step to You, You'd make a step back to us. And so, Lord, I pray that You would just in Your mercy touch those that need Your touch today and bring healing to those who need it and comfort to those, Lord, who need that comfort that only the Holy Spirit can bring. Father, we love You and we praise You for all You do for us. We thank You, Lord, for the realities, Lord, that we have come to understand, Lord, that death is real, but resurrection is more real. And, Lord, we're comforted by that. And we ask now that You would just, I pray, guide us now in Your will over the next day, Lord. And all we do, Lord, may it bring honor to You, Lord, and pay tribute to one among us who has fallen, but not in defeat. He has fallen in victory, Lord. And I pray that You would just bless Sister Mary Ann tonight, Lord. I commit her to You and all of the family. Lord, Sister Crystal and Brother Joel and all of the family that way. And Lord, may You just minister to their hearts tonight, I pray. We love You and we thank You, Lord, and ask that Your special blessing, Lord, would rest upon Your people. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. And amen.
Father in heaven, lift Your name in all the earth. Let Your kingdom be established in our praises, as Your people declare Your mighty word. Blessed be
said. Amen. That's a good way to end our service tonight. And May the Lord richly bless you. Lord willing, we'll see you tomorrow evening at 6 o'clock. And I can't help but just think about this. I don't think Brother Luther would want us to come tomorrow night with long faces and a sad feeling, even though naturally we would tend to feel that way. I think he'd want us to be rejoicing over the reality that death is real, but resurrection is more real than death. And so therefore, I think we should come just praising the Lord and thanking God for a man like Luther, who we had among us over time. We had him over time. And God decided to take him on into the kingdom. And I don't believe that Luther is lost at all. I believe you know exactly where he is. Amen. And we're resting in that. If you have digital pictures, send them to me. We want to do a PowerPoint. If you have stories, let me know. We would appreciate that very much between now and tomorrow evening. May the Lord bless you. And thank you for coming today and making our day special. And we thank Brother Dale and Brother Luther for coming and being here and making our time special. And may the Lord richly bless you. We're going to dismiss you with this song tonight. Let's sing it again. Father in heaven, we love you.
Father in heaven, love you. Lift your name in all the earth. Kingdom be established in our praises.